Hey, everybody. My name's Dane.
And I'm Jimmy.
And our podcast is called Bubbling Questions.
We do would-you-rathers from listeners and a Twitter bot.
Along with one-person game shows using ridiculous stuff we find on the internet.
Like, what kind of dick are we talking?
I shall not tell you.
Okay. All from our very real hot tub.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Very real. Not a gimmick at all. Find Bubbling Questions wherever you get podcasts.
And I'm Jimmy.
And welcome to the Escapist Comics Podcast. I'm Jessica Balboni.
I'm Robert Nicolesco.
And today is January 21st, 2022.
That's a real number.
It's a real number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tomorrow it will be January 22nd, 2022. 22.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even say it. 22, 2022.
February will be good. Two.
Not like a Stephen King thing.
He has the date that Kennedy was shot, but yeah, that's not that date.
No, that's not that date.
Did they go sorry, the Mike. Sorry.
Oh. Oh, and I wanted to. So there's been a lot of deaths this week. It's been a sad, sad week. But I wanted to dedicate this episode to Rachel Nagy of the Detroit Cobras. She was my favorite singer, so I just wanted to throw that out there. R.A.P. And it's been a sad week for me. And then fucking Meatloaf died today.
Well, yeah,
brutal.
Yeah, not good. And Louis Anderson.
Louis Anderson. So
I love Louis Anderson.
I know.
Love it. Ugh. If you're ever anyone listening, watch Zach Galifianakis's clown show, Baskets.
Oh yeah.
Louis Anderson plays he plays Zach's mom, but what he was doing, he talked about when he played that character, was channeling his own mother, and it's incredible. He's not Louis. It's like he becomes like a real, like he's his mom. It's beautiful in this very strange way, and so funny.
Karen Kilgariff from My Favorite Murder, the podcast, she wrote on that show, and that's how I found out about it. Yeah,
it's very strange and good, but Louis Anderson, great comedian. Meatloaf, I mean, bad out of hell.
And Rachel of the Detroit Cobras. If you've never heard, the Detroit Cobras are amazing garage band, but they're technically a cover band, but they take like really old, like soul R&B like songs that you've never ever heard in your entire life and cover them, but making their own songs really. But fantastic band. They will be missed. So,
cool.
But on to happier things, comics.
Yeah. Comics are beautiful. Comics here. They're great.
They are great. And they will. They're a good escape from reality.
Yeah.
So we read some stuff this week.
Something about a big green lady.
Yeah, big green lady, some superhero teams, some X people.
a little hairy guy with claws.
Yep. So let's start with the big green lady. And of course, that we could mean only She-Hulk. She's back.
Number one.
There were so many variants, oh my god, of this book, but I of course took home the amazing Jen Bartel cover. That was just the main cover, and everyone picked up this one, mostly except for the people who wanted to buy like all three covers, like the Art Germ, this cover, and then like the Adam Hughes cover. I had a lot of people doing that.
This so one's iconic. Yeah, this one's iconic. It pops. It's just really cool.
And then on the first page too, she has like a little fashion picture as well that Jen Bartel did.
Oh yeah.
Fashion splash, I'll call it.
If no one knows who She-Hulk is, where have you been? But Jennifer Walters, that's the first time I got her name right. Jennifer Walters was a shy attorney, good at her job and quiet in life when she was gunned down by criminals. A gamma irradiated blood transfusion from her cousin, Dr. Bruce Banner, aka the Incredible Hulk, didn't just give her a second chance of life, but also super strength and bulletproof green skin and unbelievably gorgeous hair. She's the sensational She-Hulk.
All right.
That's from the inside cover.
All right. When I read that, I was just like, really, guys? You had to throw in the hair thing. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they do that for any of the other comics or characters?
Like, no.
No. Uh-uh.
But I mean, she does have great hair.
She does have gorgeous hair. But, like,
but yes.
She's the lady character. Let's make sure we point out her gorgeous hair. All right.
And fashion and talk about all that stuff. Yeah, there's a little bit of that. I mean, but it's still very fun.
Yeah, it is fun. Sure. So she's had quite a few books in the past few years. None of them have lasted very long. The Charles Soule book was my favorite. Yeah. When she was just a superhero lawyer and she wasn't changing. She was just like, I'm going to be green. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to defend superheroes and supervillains. Like, I'm just going to hang out in New York. Now she's changing back to human again. The last series, it was just called Hulk, which people were real mad about. That was the Mariko Tamaki series.
Oh, and it was just called Hulk.
Called Hulk. No, she. And yeah, that pissed people off. They're like, but she's a girl. Gotta have she in the title. She's not.
Totally.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. They would have preferred just she.
Yeah. Right. They would.
Yeah. Okay.
And she was changing into like a gray Hulk in that one. Because she was, whenever she got scared, not angry. Remember, she's a girl.
Scared. Yeah.
She was transforming.
You know, let's just call it Walters.
like John Carter.
Yeah. I mean, Banner, he's gotten his own Banner, you know.
But not good, though.
Maybe. I don't know.
Bruce. Bruce.
Yeah, just Bruce. There's a couple of those. Yep. Doesn't work.
No.
But yeah, she will basically immediately meets Titania. Mm-hmm. Mary McFerrin.
Yep. Also, former supervillain. It says she's gotten better, I guess. She's no longer bad, but yet she still wants to fight. She needs to get her kicks out somehow.
Yeah.
Also very fashionable.
Looking yeah, I like the
90s, early 90s, late 80s looking.
I like the spikes.
I like the belt. She's got like a pink leopard print low cut top on. Pretty metal, actually. Pretty hair metal.
Yeah, and it looks like her boots and her belt are like supervillain attire, and then everything else is just like normal clothes, like cool clothes.
Yeah, or she's going to a Gwar show.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Those are sweet Gwar boots.
It is. Maybe she's trying out for Gwar later.
I hope. Yeah. I mean, they need big awesome. People.
Yeah, be an awesome gig for her.
But yeah, they just have a fight. I mean, it's just, this is Marvel Comics and they have a big old fight, you know, and they talk while they're doing it.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very She-Hulk thing to do. Either breaking the fourth wall or just talk while you're fighting.
Yeah.
So yeah, they battle it out in the streets. I do also appreciate so She-Hulk's like down on her luck, right? She's not a lawyer anymore. She's lost her job. She's just like, She needs a new, like a new job, and she's going for an interview later. So she like takes off her only suit that she has left, like before she battles.
Yeah.
She's just gonna transform. So she doesn't want to ruin her clothes.
They're always eradicating their wardrobes, like constantly, especially the Hulks.
Oh yeah, all the time. I mean, pretty much all of the superheroes, like, you know, you're going to fight. You're probably going to get like hit with lasers or.
Not Iron Man.
He wears like
tuxedos. I know he wears like tuxedos and then steps into his suit. It's right. Like, well, okay, guy.
Any of the billionaire superheroes, it doesn't matter because they have so much money. But like the regular, like Daredevil or like any of like the street level superheroes, Luke Cage, like,
oh yeah,
how do they have money to like replace all of these suits? I guess they're not a lawyer, like, but he's never been like a rich lawyer.
No, he's not doing it right.
No,
he's too good. He's too nice.
Yeah, he's not like Robin Hooding it, sort of thing. Yeah, around and like stealing money to like pay for all of his clothes.
Yeah, that'd be crazy if they made Matt Murdock a criminal defense lawyer. He's like, it's just a job.
Secretly, like, Kingpin's like paying
loose morals.
Yeah, right.
I do think in this S.H.I.E.L.D. comic, it's like weird that it's like basically enough with the like random fights. Let's just agree to fight.
Yeah.
Like, let's just have a fight club.
Yeah. They just like they need to get it out of their system. But they're still like destroying lots of property. Like,
yeah, I just it's just funny like that. It's like Marvel Comics changing with the time. Like, it's like they're not going to just keep doing the random fights. They want to fight each other.
Right.
It's empowering.
It's fun.
Yeah.
But let's also maybe not destroy all of New York City in the process.
Yeah, exactly. This is like, we pay for this.
Yeah. Who's paying for this city?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they like have a little chat about what's been going on in their lives. Kind of fun. And Titania actually feels bad for She-Hulk. But then they're at the end of the battle. They're like, all right, well, see you around like next time. Until next time.
Yeah, until we meet, you know, at a park or something at night to brawl each other.
Yeah. So then she gets Jennifer like runs. She's like, oh my God, I'm going to be late. She really needs this job. She makes it to Mallory Brooke, who's apparently the best lawyer in New York, also former Miss Utah.
Whoa.
Yeah. A lot of pretty going around in this comic.
I guess that is true. Yeah.
You're pretty and smart.
Yes.
That's how you make it in this world, Robert.
It's about glamour. It is. It really is.
Yeah. Which I guess is fine. I don't know.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And now we're talking about it and I'm like, huh. They're assuming a lot.
I had some issues for sure. Yeah, but whatever. So yeah, she gets this job. Cool.
And in a closet. Yeah. Like,
then she goes to see Janet Van Dyne, who is has an apartment for her.
This is great though. I love the description of Janet Van Dyne. Janet Van Dyne, Wasp, former everything, current everything, and icon. I laughed.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, she was the Avengers captain like so long. It's like nobody ever like talks about, you know, the Wasp.
No, they don't. And I feel like Wasp is having a comeback. Maybe she'll,
yeah. I hope so.
I hope so too. Nobody talks about her enough.
Yeah.
I will say I really enjoyed the art in this book too. I thought the layouts were really good. The word bubbles could have used some improvement, but besides that, I really enjoyed the art.
Yeah, it's very, very lush. I want to be in this apartment.
Yes. She has like the most beautiful New York City apartment that she just kind of like forgot about, I guess. Yeah.
Cause she's rich. She's super rich.
So rich.
She has like fashion money and like, you know, all that divorce money from the Pym particles and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm.
So it's good also to be a superhero and have rich superhero friends, because down on your luck, you can at least get somewhere to live and it'll be something like this.
With walk-in closets. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess, yeah, she's lived here before. So she has this giant walk-in closet just full of all of her clothes.
Which she proceeds to rip.
Yes. But it doesn't matter because she has so many. So, like, why was she ever worried?
Yeah. I guess. Weird.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about, we're going to just spoil this because why not? You know, this is the total setup issue number one.
Yeah.
And I want to get into what happens with this character that we haven't seen in a really long time.
Absolutely.
So Jack of Hearts just suddenly appears in the bedroom, living room.
He like bursts through the door. It looks like the door is open behind him.
Okay. Well, he just appears out of nowhere. Jack of Hearts has been dead for a long time in the Marvel universe.
Since Avengers Disassembled, right?
Yeah, since it's assembled. So if you don't know who Jack of Hearts is, that's okay. Not a lot of people do.
No. Some wish they didn't.
Yeah, exactly. He actually first appeared in The Deadly Hands of Kung Fu.
Oh, cool.
Like number 22 in 1976. And then he started his own like 4-issue miniseries. Then he was like a regular character in Iron Man for a while. That 4-issue miniseries is terrible too, by the way. We have like a million copies upstairs. So if you're interested, like, please come by and pick up those. Maybe he'll be in the She-Hulk show. Ooh, spoilers.
They do have to reinvent that guy. Otherwise, just leave him alone forever.
Yeah, definitely. He's got like a very weird set of powers too, which like, so he created this like Jack of Hearts suit to contain his powers, but why did it have to look like a playing card? They don't ever explain that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it's the design. You know, that's where these heroes fall short. It would be like, I remember seeing him as like a kid with like the lineup of the Avengers and it's like, cool. Iron Man and I think She-Hulk was in the Avengers at that time. Mm-hmm. And then him. Yeah. And it's like, okay. Like it was like, you know, card? 10 years before where it's like, is just Quasar in the team now? Like, no, like these other ones are cool.
Yeah. And so a little synopsis of like how She-Hulk and Jack of Hearts met. So like they were around each other, like you said, they were in the same team together. And Jack of Hearts, who has the ability to absorb radiation that's around him, leads to She-Hulk being unable to control her changes. So that's actually how that happened. So she just ended up being green all the time. And then that resulted into her tearing the Vision in half, right?
Of course.
But then it was revealed that all of those events were actually caused by Scarlet Witch.
Oh, well, okay.
It was her fault.
Thanks, Wanda.
Not She-Hulk's fault. But She-Hulk was still stuck that way. And so she was really afraid, became really paranoid and full of rage. And she was like really scared to be around Jack of Hearts after that. So.
Well, and then he died.
And then he died. So it didn't matter.
when she tore the Vision apart, because it was all about, yeah. It was all in that Disassembled where Brian Michael Bendis came on to the Avengers and then, I mean, shook everything up completely.
Right. So it's kind of interesting that they're bringing him back for this because she's like starting to get her life back together and, you know, she can change back and forth now at will. And now bringing him back and just kind of probably blow everything up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. That's cool.
It was a good little twist. Yeah. I did not expect that or anything. So was cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think we mentioned it at the beginning, though, but Rainbow Rowell.
Oh, yeah.
The writer. Mm-hmm. Apologies. Roger Antonio is the artist. Mm-hmm. And Rico Renzi, the color artist.
Right. Yep. Yeah, good team. I'm definitely on board for more.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. All right. Moving on to...
DC.
To DC.
Speaking of Brian Michael Bendis and the Disassembled.
Oh, good Lord. Okay, so this is a limited series from DC. Justice League versus the Legion of Superheroes. So it's more like Justice League and the Legion of Superheroes. Yeah. I don't know. It's like not really a versus thing.
Not yet,
sure.
I guess. I don't know why they're fighting. Why? Stop the fighting.
Let's just be a team.
Fight bad guys. Well, you know why they have all the superheroes keep fighting each other? Because they keep making villains into good guys.
Right. Like, it's true. Yeah. Absolutely.
Then who do they fight? I don't know. The future good guys. They don't know each other yet.
They're from the 51st century. So this is kind of after the success of Brian Michael Bendis's Legion of Superhero series that came out 2 years ago, last year. Well, with Ryan Sook, that series, where he made the Gold Lanterns. The Gold Lanterns with their powers of happiness and joy. You have to be the most happy and the most joyous to be a Gold Lantern.
Yeah.
Make sense, but with the gold, because you think with like the yellow and the orange, like that, I don't know.
Well, it's the shiny version of yellow, which is fear. So the shiny version, it's the opposite,
I guess.
I don't know.
When I looked it up, the internet was real mad about it. So...
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It can't be possible.
This
can't be comics.
He's doubling down then, because this is the Gold Lantern Saga Part 1.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be all about the Gold Lantern, I guess. I don't care either way. Do whatever color you want and name whatever attributes you want around it. Doesn't matter. It's
oh, cool. Yeah.
They're going to run out of colors, though, I'll tell you.
The Spectrum Lanterns.
The Spectrum.
You heard it here first.
All the colors. All right.
Yeah, you heard it here first. I'll expect my check, DC.
You're copywriting it from DC.
Oh, yeah. The Spectrum Lanterns. The Spectrum Lanterns possess all the powers of all the lanterns. Anyway, right. It's a mess. It's kind of like a lot going on. It's a lot to pull off. But I mean, it's Brian Michael Bendis, right? He like loves big casts of characters.
Right.
He loves them talking to each other, bouncing characters off one another.
Yeah. So basically, I have a little synopsis. Like, beginning in the 31st century, Justice League versus the Legion of Superheroes follows the Gold Lantern and his fellow heroes as they celebrate a victory for the Legion when they're interrupted by a mysterious great darkness that results in the disappearance of one third of Triplicate Girl. Oh no! Where did she go? Back in the 21st century, the Justice League has a similar experience that culminates in the appearance of an aging Triplicate Girl. There she is. John Kent helps the Legion travel back in time, and the two teams attempt to get to the bottom of a mysterious new threat. All right, so the basics of what happens in it. So yeah, I think like Bendis does do a pretty good job of keeping like the playful tones, you know, of both the teams. And though I thought it was a little weird, like, so in the beginning we get all of like the Legion and then they jump over to the Justice League, but he introduces all of the Justice League. Like, we don't know who the Justice League characters are, but they don't introduce any of the Legion.
Yeah.
Which has a bunch of new characters too. It's not like some of it's old Legion characters, but some of them are newer. And I'm like, who are these people?
Yeah, I guess that is. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I thought that was a little interesting. And there's a lot more Legion characters than there are Justice League characters.
There's so many. I mean, most of them don't even do anything in this issue yet. They're just like in the background.
Yeah. I was like, why can't we know all of their names? Is it biased? I don't know.
It's very bouncy. The whole issue is very fun and bouncy, I guess.
Yeah. But it was hard, I think, for the artist too. Oh, by the way, let's do that real quick. So it's Brian Michael Bendis and Godlewski. What is your Scott Godlewski?
Scott Godlewski, yeah.
Godlewski, yeah. And colors by Ryan Cody, letters by Dave Sharp, and he had a big job ahead of him. I think he did actually. That the letterer did a great job.
Yeah.
Keeping up with everything.
Oh, it flows. The reading flows very well, actually, for all the word balloons. Like, there are some double page splashes with like I don't know, a dozen word balloons, you know, like all over the place.
More than a dozen. Like, the centerfold is insane. there's like 40 balloons on that page.
The banter, you know, it's why you get a Brian Michael Bendis comic. And they're not, he's rapid fire. They're not all going to land.
No.
And they don't need to, because you're already on to the next little quip. You know, it works. It works for what it is. You know, it's nothing revelatory or anything like that, you know, but it does work.
Yeah, it was a struggle, I thought, at some parts for sure. Yes. Like that, the centerfold, that double page spread, that was a struggle to get through with all the little conversations. And I got where he was going through. So basically it's a double page spread of all of the characters. So once they like culminate together. So basically John Kent brings over the Legion of Superheroes to our world, to the 21st century from the 31st century. And they're all having little conversations about what's happening. Like every single character is having a little conversation. Mm-hmm. And it is hard to follow at some points, for sure. And I'm not sure if that needed to happen, but it's fun. You know, I get where he was going with it. It's just a little messy. That's all.
It would. It's a scene that would have worked better in like an animation or something.
Absolutely.
With quick cuts, and, you know, like just really fast shot on this person. What the blah, blah, blah. Like, and then next on to the next.
Funny you would say that, because there's going to be a Legion of Superheroes animation based off of Brian Michael Bendis's and Ryan Sook series. So okay. He might be thinking that, you know, ahead of time too.
I'm actually very interested. I think the characters, it's a lot of fun. There's so much potential there.
Yeah.
For fun and just for like, I mean, it's the 31st or 51st century. Like, who cares what happens? Like, yeah. You know, like do anything. Awesome.
Right. So yeah, and I think the colors does a really good job too, you know, showing like the nebulous or whatever, that darkness like coming through as well. So you really could see like the difference on each panel of that, like, yeah, taking over the Justice League. It works. It
yeah.
Maybe needs to be a little cleaned up, but it's Brian Michael Bendis, so it probably won't be.
I liked Triplicate Girl being split up and then one portion of her aging. And then I really liked the discussion when she's like kind of arguing with herself, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, you're old. We're 17. Like, what happens if we merge together? Are we going to like have the average age, or like what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And they're like, if we do it again. And she's like, no, when?
Yeah.
It's like, what are you talking about? You're not going to not merge with me. And they're kind of just like, I mean, they're 17-year-old girls. They're kind of like, ew, I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts, actually, because I love Triplicate Girl, too. I love the Legion of Superheroes. They're actually, like, one of my favorite groups. They're a hard cast to write, I think. So we'll
hopefully see this animation.
Yes, I know. I'm excited for that.
That might be the exact thing that they need to sort of be like, because, you know, I've read them the stories here and there, but I don't know the personality. Like, I don't know what Lightning Lad is like. I don't know, you know.
What about Bouncing Boy?
Yeah, I don't know what if Matter Eater like is the brooding one, or it, like, is he the one that makes jokes? You know what I mean? Like, they need that. They need the like kind of archetypal ones, versions. Okay.
Yeah.
So that then when I read the comics, I know them.
Yeah. Well, luckily people have been slowly introduced to them in Supergirl, which is great. The show. So, like, you know, Brainiac 5 is in Supergirl, and John and Mon-El, and they've had quite a few Legion characters now. So okay. I think people will be really interested in the animation too.
Definitely. And Superboy showing up and
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Having it not be like young Clark, but John. Like that's cool. And then tying it to, you know, he'll be a supporting character, I'm sure, in some capacity, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Cool.
Well, yeah, that was Justice League versus the Legion of Superheroes, but they were just friends in this one.
Yeah, they're totally friends.
honestly, good kids comic.
Like, yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's what, and we need more of that, like something you can give kids. And it's not going to be scary or anything like that. So
no, I like that exists. It might not necessarily be like exactly for me, but like that would be a great comic to give an 8-year old.
Yeah, here's one I would not give a kid.
No,
an 8-year old,
14-year old.
Yeah, absolutely. X Lives of Wolverine, which is going to coincide with the Many Deaths of Wolverine. No, that's the Many Deaths of Layla Starr. The X Deaths of Wolverine.
Yeah, Yeah, I kind of, I'm like, we should have covered X deaths. That sounds cool. But
that was not out yet. This is going to be a weekly comic.
X deaths and then X lives and the next deaths and the next lives,
yeah,
every
that's in
week.
The back, I think it says like when they're coming out. Yeah.
Crazy.
X lives this week. Next week is X deaths. And then, yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. So fun.
Okay.
So this is by Benjamin Percy and hold on. Okay. Benjamin Percy, Joshua Cassara, Frank Martin, and then lettered by VCs and Corey Petit. And then Tom Muller is doing the design as always. It has the same design, you know, as all the Hickman stuff. I guess X-Men comics are just going to like look like this forever until they revamp them again.
Yeah, I'm hoping for that.
Yeah. So Wolverine has gone by many different names and lived many different lives in the course of his long existence. Armed with a mutant healing ability and a set of retractable claws, he's the best there is at... he's the best there is at what he does. And what he does isn't very nice, but he'll do whatever it takes to protect those he cares about.
They already knew that whole part, so it doesn't matter. Okay. the best at what he does, that line.
Yeah.
You can't say it straight faced anymore.
No, you can't.
I need to point out the opening of this, because maybe I'm just like, you know, uncultured or something, but like he says the watch is broken and that's why I'm using it. And then so he's just staring at this like super old pocket watch, which I'm sure has some history significance to him. I don't know. It was Captain America's watch. He gave it to me in World War II. I don't know, but he's looking at a broken watch waiting for something, like right, making this big poignant statement about like digital clocks being fake.
Yeah.
But he has a broken watch and I'm like, am I missing something? Like,
I don't know. I felt the same way.
It looks nice, but I mean, nice.
Was he just being fancy?
I don't know.
All right. Well,
but then Cyclops, he's just like on a beach staring at the ocean, and then Cyclops, or I mean, that's Professor X.
That's Professor X. Yeah.
Yeah. He shows up and then he's like, it's time.
Right.
And then we go back in time to, I don't know what, the 30s? I don't know.
Earlier than that, right?
Well, it's Professor X being born. I don't know how old he's supposed to be.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't know. He looks, sure, we'll say 30s.
I don't know. They're rich, so it doesn't really like matter. They have a castle.
I'm like, they have like lanterns in their house. So.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's old money. I don't know.
Right.
We got Mrs. Xavier in bed, and then she's giving birth, you know?
Yeah, she's giving birth, but having a real hard time of it. So I'm not sure like where or like how, like he's trying to save Professor X. That's what the story is. That's where it's going. And Omega Red is there to murder Professor X. So my biggest problem with this book is, was I supposed to read all of the other X-Men books before I read this to know what was happening in this one? Because if so, I didn't do that and I'm very confused.
It does seem like a lot of the X books are repeating that sort of like, because they're successful, they're able to kind of create their own little thing. And it does make them kind of impenetrable if you're not starting from the beginning and going through the whole thing. Even when they're launching number ones, it's not a number one. This is part 95.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so like, and like, what's gonna happen in the death of Wolverine one? Is he gonna be saving his own self for or is
I'm
he
not
saving
sure
another
that, yeah.
character? So yeah, I felt like this was kind of like the biggest mess. I felt kind of cheated, even though the art is amazing.
Really cool.
It was like a cool battle scene with Omega Red, because he's one of the biggest jerks in the Marvel Universe, for mutants anyways.
Oh, there's some great, like, yeah, yeah. There's, I think I have a lot of affinity for Omega Red, you know, that, that 90s character. Oh,
yeah. Created by John Byrne and Jim Lee.
Yeah, there's great stuff here. Like him, the colors and everything. I think the colors in this issue are really good. But there's, I don't know, cool shots of him, which it's nice to see him. But yeah, he's like floating around through people, possessing people through time or something, which
yeah.
I don't really know. Could he do anything like that before? Was he like...
Yeah, I think so. I think that's part of his deal.
Well,
he's
so
definitely
he's
a strong, one of the stronger mutants. Real quick, I just want to get into this. So basically they say Logan must travel to various points in time to prevent the death of a key figure in mutant history, but these lives are only one side of the story. So I guess, yeah, he's going to go around jumping around in history to save people's lives. But why does he have to do that?
I don't know.
Is the question. All right.
Marvel plot.
And everyone's saying it's the most epic Wolverine story ever told. That sounds like, and then other people are saying, why is this happening? That's mostly the
we'll get there. We'll see. We'll see how epic it is, I guess.
I guess. I don't know.
But yeah, basically the gist of this issue is Professor X and Cassandra, his sister, who's a stillborn, right? But yes. We know who is not dead.
Yes.
It's their birth, the day of their birth, and Omega Red shows up. He possesses the gardener who's able to, like, I don't know, he like can turn people's bodies, like, where do the claw, the spinal column tentacles come from?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, he possesses the gardener who like throws some hedge clippers like Cropsy from The Burning. Mm-hmm. And then but he keeps like jumping around possessing different people in the house trying to kill, you know, Professor Xavier's mom, and then right. Wolverine of the time, so he has the bone claws because this is pre Weapon X program.
It's pre-Weapon X,
but yeah, I mean
I don't really understand why. Okay, so if he's jumping around in time, why is he that Wolverine? Like, why isn't, like, they're sending him back? You know what I mean?
Because he's possessing the Wolverine at the time, I think.
Oh, okay.
Because it's Jean. Jean is the one doing this whole
thing. Oh, that's right. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, she just sent his consciousness back, just like in, Days of Future Past or whatever.
Right, okay.
But, yeah, it is confusing.
Well, Days of Future Past, they actually go there, right?
I don't even know. I meant the movie, like in the movie.
Got it.
It's a different story, and they send Kitty back or so. I don't know.
Yeah, that's different.
X stuff. Kitty
was alive then. All right.
We're professionals, and this is confusing.
It is. Okay, so on Omega Red, the Soviet government implanted a retractable carbonadium tentacle within each of Omega Red's arms. Yeah, so I don't know why he has one suddenly on his back.
But like, he can possess people and then they have the claws too? Crazy.
I guess.
It's like not possession, it's something else then.
Yeah,
he's, I mean, like a virus.
Here it just says high level intellect regeneration, carbonadium retractable tentacles housed within each arm, life force absorption, ability to secrete pheromones that result in sickness and death. It doesn't say anything about the possession.
Well, like a 90s comic,
right?
None of that matters.
None of it
does
matters.
It look cool?
That look cool.
Yeah, that's what these are, like, mildly better written, maybe significantly better written, but it's still a mess, but it looks cool. And I guess that's cool. What Omega Red comics are like.
Yeah, sure. And it does say, okay, so why Omega Red? We didn't talk about that at all. Why is he trying to kill Professor X? So in Krakoa, they have like the X-Force is like controlling certain mutants that they don't want to regenerate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Omega Red is one of those mutants that they're like, yeah, he is real bad. We don't want him to come back, you know?
Yeah.
Or if he does come back, we're going to actually take certain things out of him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and then he figured this out and figured out a way to combat that. And that's how he was able to, go back in time and try to kill Professor X.
Yeah, because he doesn't. Yeah, I mean, I guess understandable from his point of view. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a psychopath,
right? So I thought that part was cool, and I get it. I get where they're going with that. So I'm gonna guess there's gonna be other mutants popping up too, maybe that also want to fight against this. Like they shouldn't be playing God, right? If they have the powers of God, like Professor X and their little X-Force team.
It's a great conceit because then it literally positions all the worst bad guys as the ones who are going to want the most revenge.
Right. Of course.
So that's a cool setup at least.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it's not a last page, but there's like a Russian Doctor Strange. Is this
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was very confused about that. I was like, is that Doctor Strange? Isn't he dead? What's happening right now? He's not a mutant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And does he know Russian? Because this guy does.
I mean, Doctor Strange probably knows every language.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Guess yeah, there's a spell
like
a for that.
Scarred face, right? So maybe this is just like the evil Doctor Strange that's like hanging around. Because like there is an evil dark Doctor Strange.
Yeah, maybe, because that's the whole Strange thing, right? Isn't mm-hmm. Benedict Cumberbatch going to play like three versions of Doctor Strange in the movie?
Yeah. Doctor Strange just died recently in the comics too. And now there's like a dark Doctor Strange. And so maybe he's the dark Doctor Strange. That was my Russian. Guess anyways. Or Russian. Yeah, Russian dark Doctor Strange.
Who knows? With multiverses, it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. That was my guess. And there's all this dark web chatter. We still get our, you know, classic Hickman pages with
chatter
on it. Kremlin statements.
denial. 2 weeks. Refusal to comment. 1 week. Official public statement from Kremlin. Like, okay.
All right.
Fun. Cool. Comics. Fun.
Fun. Yes.
Still, it looks good. They're definitely going for the 90s stuff, right? Because like the second adventure Wolverine gets sent on is I don't remember this dude's name, but
isn't that it's Sabretooth? Like when
there is Sabretooth there and then that other guy with the like
it's the Rob Liefeld death lock. I don't know.
Death
clock.
They're definitely going for the 90s stuff though, sending him on another adventure with that. We really don't know. It is kind of a mess. I mean
Uh-huh.
it did look pretty cool, and I don't know, I didn't hate it or anything like that. I was just kind of like wanting to know what was going on.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I'll check out the X Deaths of Wolverine and see what happens in there, I guess. Figure out if I can actually read this cohesively. Or if it's just all garbled because I haven't been following X-Men enough.
Yeah, don't jump on with this one, kids.
Yeah, if you haven't been reading X-Men at all, maybe not the book for you. Just a quick break here to remind you that Escapist Comics podcast is brought to you by Escapist Comics Bookstore, located at 3090 Claremont Avenue in Berkeley, California, 94705. The music we played at the beginning of today's show was the aforementioned Detroit Cobras. And as always, any information attained on today's episode was researched with the help of Wikipedia, CBR, Screen Rant, and IMDb. Now back to the show. All right.
And now.
Now, let's.
Let's head upstairs.
Head upstairs. Welcome to the attic, kids. Our new. I guess I can't say weekly, bi-weekly.
Episodically.
Mm-hmm. And what do we have this week, Robert?
This week, we're going to be talking about Avengers number 9.
Number 9.
Yeah. Written by Stan Lee, drawn by Don Heck, inked by Dick Ayers and Art Simic, letterer. This is the first issue of the Avengers without Jack Kirby on the book.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the previous issue was number 8, where Kang was introduced. Mm-hmm. And then now with number 9, yeah, Don Heck takes over. Don Heck gets a lot of hate. I think this issue looks good. I have seen bad Don Heck comics, but yeah. I do like this one. I think Dick Ayers makes it look pretty good.
Well, yeah, Dick Ayers is a great inker. Luckily, Don Heck didn't ink his own book. So.
Yeah.
Because he would ink a lot of his own stuff, too. Though I like, you know, a lot of people hate Don Heck's Iron Man. And I actually like that Iron Man suit, you know, with the horns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? Just have fun, guys. Stop being so serious.
Totally.
But yeah, it so we open with a full page splash of Captain America facing off against Baron Zemo, the Nazi super scientist. This is not the Marvel Cinematic Zemo. This is, we don't like this Zemo. but then we turn the page and really realize it was a hallucination Captain America was having. Pretty dark. And also, I thought a pretty cool opening, like the opening splash is, you know, an hallucination inside the mind of, you know, Captain America against his hated villain.
Mm-hmm.
But so they were banished in like issue 7 to another dimension. Then it was Zemo, the Enchantress, and the Executioner. And she casts a spell to bring them to Earth. This is 60s comics, kids. This stuff is wild. So like I keep like trying to explain it like the other stuff. I'm just gonna go for it. Like so they're in the Amazon and Zemo took over some sacred temples and turned them into his jungle kingdom because, you know, Nazis hid in South America after the war, right? They go, so from there they go to New York and find Simon Williams, who is an inventor. Now I'm gonna be reading here from the official handbook of the Marvel Universe from the 80s.
Cool.
So this is the preface, like this, the backstory for Simon Williams, which is not in this issue at all. So
it's written afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, but it does sort of all tie in together pretty well. So Simon was the younger of two sons of Sanford Williams, an industrialist who founded a highly successful munitions factory called Williams Innovations. Because, you know, everybody in the 60s was an inventor.
Right. Or a rich industrialist.
Yes. Yes. When his older brother, Eric, declined his father's offer to join the family firm, Simon, the more studious of the two, accepted. And then when Sanford died, Simon inherited full control over the business at the age of 22.
Mm-hmm.
Under his inexperienced management, the company began to lose its competitive edge against growing firms such as Stark Industries.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. So desperately, Simon sought his brother's aid, and his brother advised him to embezzle money from the company.
Oh, not a good advice there.
No, not great, Eric. And it's like, you do it.
Of course, it's Eric.
Well, he is the Grim Reaper, which that is also not in this issue.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
I also think I remember from an old Wonder Man comic where his brother burned the garage down when they were kids. So problem kid. I don't know why his dad asked him to join the firm, but... Seems like Simon's the better choice.
Old money.
Yeah. So then it was to get money for a crime syndicate racket that Eric was caught up in. And desperate to save his father's business, Simon did as his brother suggested. And he was caught and brought facing prison sentence. This is when Zemo and the Enchantress encounter Simon.
Right. And... that was Baron Heinrich, right? Baron Heinrich and Zemo and Enchantress.
Oh, no, the Executioner.
Later. Oh, okay. Executioner.
So they find this guy and convince him to come with them. And they can make him rich and get him off of his you know, criminal from going to prison. They bombard him with ionic rays, and he turns basically just the most superpowered superhero at the time. Like, you know, he can like go toe to toe with Thor. This is pre like all these escalating power levels. So at the time in the early Marvel universe, this guy's probably the most powerful.
Right.
And then Zemo gives him the corny name of Wonder Man to allow him to join the Avengers, which I think Simon, cool guy, should have dropped the name. A evil Nazi gave that name to you.
Right.
Like, well, I think he'd be a great character without the name Wonder Man. I love the
name have been. Can you think of a better name for Wonder Man? No. Ionic Man.
Yeah, Ionic Man is way better.
It is, right?
Or just Ionic, whatever.
Well, that, yeah, that's good. I like that. Just keep it simple. No man.
Ion, I don't know. All of those are better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he gives him the corny name, but he doesn't tell him that the process requires him to take an antidote every few days or he will die.
He has that serum. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they stage a battle with the Avengers, and Wonder Man, like, comes in. It's like it was like a wrestling match or something where it's like they stage it, and then Wonder Man comes in because he has this whole backstory of how Zemo captured him and forced him to undergo these experiments and all this stuff. But eventually, he gets friendly with the Avengers and kidnaps the Wasp, takes her to the jungle base, and then radios the Avengers for help, pretending that he was captured with the Wasp.
Mm-hmm.
The trap is sprung. The Masters of Evil combined with Wonder Man are able to defeat the Avengers. Like, they beat them. They're done. It's over. But Zemo's going to kill them. So Simon steps in and saves them and dying himself.
Boo.
So sad.
One and done. He's over
for years, for like 20 years. Yeah. He didn't show up.
But during that, didn't Hank Pym record his brain waves?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep.
Setting up a very interesting future love triangle.
Oh, yeah.
It's like creepy. The woman I love is in love with an android with my brain wave patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
Super weird.
Comics. And
then even later, yeah, we get the whole Scarlet Witch thing too, which is even stranger.
But yeah, all in all, I thought this was a rip-roaring issue of classic comics, like, for that era. Shout out to one of our listeners and customers, Gordon.
Yep.
He's a Wonder Man fan. So
he is a Wonder Man fan. And did he buy that one? No, I think we actually sold it online. Or maybe he did. Yeah, we sold that one online. We recently had this issue in store.
Yeah. I thought about it. Yes, I thought about it,
but it's definitely gone up in price recently. So
I believe it. And I'm sure he's going to show up I think there's a lot of potential there. They just have to like crack the code. But like the whole idea of one of the Avengers being like, they haven't done that story yet. You know,
no, I mean, I really thought that was going to be in the Scarlet Witch, Vision and Scarlet Witch show.
Yeah.
But they did not, because it was in the comic, right? In the Tom King Vision comic. Mm-hmm. And you know, was it Grim Reaper that shows up in the comic, I believe, and then gets murdered?
So.
Yeah, and then then the Vision wife murders him in the backyard and buries his body in the backyard, and then doesn't tell him. And it's so good, you know, but they didn't, you know, obviously they changed it, and the Vision doesn't have his own android family, which I think they have to do in another season.
I would hope. I think WandaVision should have gone way more bonkers with it. Like,
oh yeah.
The image in my mind that I wanted so badly, like so badly, is Ultron sitting at the dining room table with them, mm-hmm. because it's his dad.
Right.
Like, so it's like my dad's over for dinner, and it's a classic sitcom where it's like, I wish this guy wasn't here.
Yeah.
Like, dad sucks. But it's Ultron, you know, like that would have been like a million chef's kiss. But
yeah, well, or they could have just done the Tom King series instead, but they, without Scarlet Witch, you know, Or she still could have been the wife too, and they could have had android children, or, you know, and she still could have killed Grim Reaper and buried him in the backyard too without Vision knowing. It would have been hilarious. And the dog picks him up, you know.
We'll see. We'll see. Maybe all of this will be in Doctor Strange.
Maybe. Probably not. There's too many other things that are going to have to happen in that movie.
A lot going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, that classic comics, it's fun. It's a weird shift to read new comics and then read old ones.
Can't
read them the same way.
No. And there's a lot more words.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. What will we read next? Maybe not a superhero comic. Maybe we'll read an old crime comic, because that's what I want to do.
Yeah, it's your pick next time. We're going to be switching back and forth for this.
We actually had a woman that came to the store the other day, and she was looking for World War II comics for kids. So obviously I gave her the Nathan Hale book. And then she comes back up with Frontline Combat. And she's like, is this one okay? And I was like, no. Yeah. For an 8-year-old. And I was like, I mean, back in the 50s, it was sort of.
Yeah.
But I don't think you want to give that to your 8-year-old.
There's a lot of questions in there, but also how cool would that 8-year-old like be? You know, they're like the 8-year-old that read Frontline Combat.
Yeah. They bring it to school though, they get suspended, like, because of all the racial issues and that.
Yeah. Probably a better bet.
Nathan Hale's probably a better bet. Yeah. All right, let's get to some news. News time. There is a lot of news this week. So first, obviously, let's just get to Moon Knight, because that was like the big breakout hit of this week. Nobody knew who he was, and now everyone is coming to the store and asking about it, of course.
Yeah.
So yeah, the big trailer. There was actually a trailer for the trailer before it dropped, like the day before. It was crazy.
The extra hype.
Mm-hmm. So you watched it, obviously.
I did.
Before I break it down, like it?
No, I mean, it looked awesome. It looked like a way, way darker tone than anything that Marvel's done.
Yeah, I feel like they're preparing us before. Now, you know, Daredevil was announced, which I'm going to guess Punisher will be down the line too, which I'm excited about. Sorry, my dog is whining. Okay. So what I noticed first, they're calling him Stephen Grant. Which is one of his personalities. But Stephen Grant in the comics is a like billionaire playboy. And he definitely did not look like that in the trailer. So he's definitely working like in a museum, looks like the London Museum or British Museum. Stephen Grant was like always like Marvel's answer to like Batman, you know? But he definitely wasn't as cool as Batman.
No.
Like at all.
But they embraced the crazy.
Well, he definitely embraced it. Yeah. But he definitely had like all the gadgets and stuff. And like he had the crescent plane, the crescent car instead of like the Batwing.
Yeah. Does he have powers? Doesn't he have like ancient Egyptian powers?
It goes back and forth. So sometimes he does. And then sometimes he just has like combat abilities. Because he was like you know, in the military, and he was a mercenary, and that's not Stephen Grant though. That's actually Mark Spector. So okay. Mark Spector was a mercenary, and yeah, like I said, in the army and stuff. And then when he goes to Egypt and then goes into this tomb, then he is taken over by the god Khonshu, which is the god of the moon or whatever. They kind of like make it up. But that's the Moon Knight spirit or god. And the soul like takes over his body. So one of the other big things we noticed, so he's definitely going to have like some form of like DID, which is dissociative identity disorder, but previously called multiple personality disorder. And it is usually a reaction to some sort of like trauma, like in the past, people to like avoid bad memories. And there has been like some kind of backlash already to this, but I think as long as I handle it well, it should be
Sure. There's nothing wrong with having superheroes that have, you know, disabilities or disorders.
Exactly. Yeah. And one of the things you really notice and pick up in the trailers is how many mirrors there are in the trailers. It's like mirrors everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. And then like, especially you see him like looking at a mirror and then there'll be like three images of him and like one will turn, another will turn. And that's definitely representative of his like main three personalities, which was, like I said, Stephen Grant, Mark Spector. And then he has like a third personality as well. Which I can't remember the name. It's like John something, Josh something. Anyways, he's a taxi cab driver with a third personality.
Okay.
Taxi cab driver. So then we also get to see a short glimpse of our antagonist as well, which is Ethan Hawke.
Good to see him.
What was that?
Good to see him.
Good to see him. Oh, yeah, absolutely. As far as we can tell, though, he's only be playing like a very obscure Marvel character. If you turn on the subtitles, it says his name is Arthur Harrow. So Arthur Harrow only appeared in one issue of Moon Knight ever in 1985.
Wow.
And the comics version of Arthur Harrow was a surgeon who suffers from a nerve condition causing him extreme pain, and he devotes his life to work in pain theory, which I actually thought was pretty cool. Chronic pain. I was like, sweet. Unfortunately, though, he did that to experiment on people, and he was a Nazi at Auschwitz, so not great. And he develops like a bunch of soldiers. This is all in one issue too, by the way. One issue, he develops a bunch of soldiers so they like don't feel pain anymore and so they can just keep killing people. And like, it seems like Moon Knight defeats him in this like one issue, but he doesn't really. And then we never hear from him ever again.
He never comes back. Well,
he never comes back, but he seemed like a kind of a cool villain. In that,
that sounds cool. I mean, they're probably not going to do the Nazi thing, but
maybe. I know. Yeah. Marvel doesn't like to do the Nazi thing. They like cover it up and like change it to, you know.
Yeah. See like Zemo Hydra. Conversation.
Yeah, exactly. They change it to Hydra.
They made Zemo disturbing.
In the beginning, it was Nazis in Marvel.
Yeah.
And then, and then they changed it to Hydra. However, so in that scene where we first see Ethan Hawke, there's like a big crowd of people like worshiping him. And they like, they like go down on their knees. And it doesn't look like, you know, he's forcing them down. They're just like worshiping him. So there's also a reference to the Sun King. And he kind of looks like that character too. So they could be doing that classic like bait and switch as well with us.
Well, he looked like a cult leader. So I was,
the Sun King is that.
Yeah. What I read about it was that, he actually based it on David Koresh, the character, casting characters. Yeah. Ethan Hawke as Arthur Harrow, a cult leader who encourages Spectre to embrace his inner darkness.
Yeah.
Hawke said Harrow is inspired by cult leader David Koresh.
Yeah. So it could, that's why I, so my theory is it's going to be like a combination of those two characters. It'll be like part Sun King, part Arthur Harrow, and like kind of mix them together because it makes sense. You have the moon and then you have the sun, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
And it works for a cult. Absolutely. Like,
totally,
you know, being a bringer of the sun and like a, you know, I mean, all these cult leaders are trying to make themselves like Jesus analogies or whatever to like, you know, attract people. So I also think that's interesting to tackle that in a Marvel, you know, medium. Like,
oh, absolutely. It's way darker than like what they've been doing.
For yeah.
Sure. Like the dark, it's probably, you know, Scarlet Witch stuff was pretty dark. You know, because she has a lot of like lost memories, and so I think they're gonna kind of tap into that too. I don't know, maybe even connect them.
Yeah, that could work.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Definitely need to see more darker things in the Marvel universe. They can touch on that, you know, it's not too scary, guys.
There's so much cool stuff to do.
Yeah. And I love the scene where, you know, we first see him transform into Moon Knight, where, you know, you see like the mummy. What is it? Gauze like starts wrapping around his neck. And then we also see the final thing, the first battle If you like slow it down, which I did several times in the trailer, because I watched this trailer like 20 times, he's fighting some kind of creature in the bathroom, and they're like breaking everything in the bathroom, and it looks like kind of like a wolf creature. So there's several theories. Of course, Werewolf by Night would be the first, right? Because number 32 is his first appearance. And then also you see Anubis several times in the trailer. So there's like in the museum, you see a statue, and then there's also a poster or like a, you know, banner of Anubis. So there's like several different creatures like that in the comic too. So it could be like a minion of Anubis or something too. Cause of course, yeah.
Or
yes.
Man Wolf.
No.
J. Jonah Jameson's astronaut son who got turned into a wolf in space. He's attacking him, and he came back for Oscar Isaac in the bathroom.
Sure. That would be my last theory of that.
Man Wolf will emerge eventually.
Oh, God. Also, fun, really fun Easter egg. When he's in the elevator, there's like an elderly lady and he's like freaking out in the elevator. There is a little sticker of Ghost Rider.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So. I hope Moon Knight is the portal into the Werewolf by Night. I hope we get Dracula. Like,
yeah,
I want to see
something about Dracula too.
I want to see a dark Avengers battling the forces of Dracula or something.
There's the thing in the Eternals, the very end of Eternals with the ebony blade and your blade's voice, right? So I mean, this is all kind of crossing into all of that dark Avengers stuff. So so now we have Blade, we have Moon Knight, and
Werewolf
then that little Ghost
Night,
Rider
probably.
Sticker. Yeah.
Probably Werewolf.
Yep, probably a werewolf.
That's exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun. As horror fans and superhero fans, we're both pumped.
Absolutely. It's why I watched it 8 billion times. All right, let's get into some bat action news, because there's a lot of it. All right, so this is insane, and I can't even believe this. All right, The Batman, which, you know, coming out very soon in March, its official runtime has been confirmed for 2 hours and 47 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
With credits, it will actually be 2 hours and 55 minutes.
Buckle up, kiddos.
Holy shit. That is so long. So this confirmation officially makes The Batman the longest Batman movie ever. Title held officially or originally, excuse me, by Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight Rises at 165 minutes. The Batman will also be the third longest comic book movie of all time, trailing the Avengers Endgame at 181 minutes. And of course, Zack Snyder's Justice League at 242 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that was released like not even in theaters. Like, you're gonna have to go to a theater to watch this, which is kind of like crazy right now, because do people really want to sit in the theater that long with a bunch of other people? I don't know. I feel like DC is probably going to be a little nervous releasing this in March, and hopefully they don't push it back again.
It's been pushed so many times.
Yeah. I don't think they can push it again, but I don't know. Maybe they decided to release the runtime to like gauge the reaction of everybody.
Maybe, yeah.
Like if people freak out and go like, I can't possibly go to the theater and watch that movie and be around other people for 3 hours.
We'll see in March, you know. That's I'm sure they're thinking about it and running through every option. As far as like me personally, just with a runtime, I'm all for it, you know.
I'm gonna go see it no matter what. I'm so excited about this movie.
Excited about that one than any of these other superhero ones that are on the horizon personally. Like, I believe in Matt Reeves.
Yeah.
You know, I still think about those Apes movies. Like, they're just, for a blockbuster entertainment, like, immense depth. It's pretty crazy. So
absolutely. Yeah. And I've loved all the trailers. Like, every time I see it, then I've watched them so many times because I've seen so many movies in the theaters recently. And I'm excited every time I see it, which is always a good sign.
See previous episodes when we talk about
the Batman.
We broke the trailer down. We broke both of them down, right? Or
yeah, we broke both of them down.
Yeah.
Okay, so more Batman news. Very exciting. Batman actor Michael Keaton, doesn't need any more introduction than that, will reportedly be in the DC Extended Universe's Batgirl. So this is very exciting. He'll be donning a new cowl for the movie.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, you know, he's also going to be in the Flashpoint as well. But I think this is actually might even be coming up before that. Though I think Flashpoint should be done by now. I don't know. That movie just seems like wrecked at this point. Like they're just killing it.
Who knows? I mean, it'll have Michael Keaton in it. So
yeah, I'm still going to see it.
The greatest. Michael Keaton, I don't know. He's going to be in Morbius. Like who knew? Who knew the guy that like first showed me Batman would be this guy just like, oh, thank you for still entertaining me with these superhero movies 30 years later, Mr. Keaton. Yeah. You're a gem.
He still looks great, too.
Like, oh, he looks great.
I saw the pictures. Like, I mean, he's not in the Batman cowl yet, but he still looks like a Bruce Wayne. Like, I don't know. He's my Bruce Wayne. So I am so excited. So Keaton's last appearance as a character, obviously, was in 1992's Batman Returns, making it 30 years. It's been 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Nuts. So obviously their details are very, very hushed about it. But like I said, he'll be donning a new bat suit, new cowl. But yeah, I guess this is like an extended universe. So we're not really sure where it is. Like, is it going to be in like the regular Justice League universe, or is it going to be like in the Matt Reeves universe? So
Batgirl could be in her own universe.
Could be in her own. But I mean, since he is going to be in the Flashpoint movie, I'm going to guess it's going to be that universe, right? It has to be the same one.
Probably, I would assume. And it's also even possible, like, it depends on what they want to do with Keaton. But, you know, everyone had always talked like, hey, where's Batman Beyond? Bring Michael Keaton back, have him be old Batman, and then bring in the new. Well, Batgirl could just be the Batman Beyond.
I don't think. No, she's Barbara Gordon.
Okay. Well, then hopefully they're going to keep Keaton around for a while, because I'd still like to see that Batman Beyond.
Yeah, I think they're going to do Batman Beyond eventually, because they need more stuff and they love doing Batman stuff. I mean, look how many Batman comics are out right now. We literally have two shelves, like two, not just shelves, but two entire cases of Batman comics.
Like, and it's a way to do Batman while not kind of stepping on the toes of Robert Pattinson.
Right. Exactly.
Which that's going to be a whole
confirmed for two other Batman movies already. So it's not even out yet. Already confirmed. Probably already filming as far as we know.
Into the Batverse.
The Batverse. And then lastly, I mean, there's not much to the story, but it's a thing that's happening. Amazon released the trailer for the show of the title of Lord of the Rings.
Oh yeah.
I was so excited the other night because I texted you and told you. I was like, oh, the Lord of the Rings trailer is up for the title. So it's called The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. And they do have some, like, talking in it, but it's literally just the talking about the rings. Like,
yeah. It's cool that they did it practically, though. I sent you that video, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what that said to me, that got me more excited about the thing. Cause when I saw the thing, I was just like, okay, a CGI logo, like things are always are.
Right.
The fact that they did that and like made all that and poured molten metal into carved wood to like make the logo of the show, to me speaks of a high quality of like care that's going into this, right? Like, this is a big deal. I hope they understand, you know, it's Lord of the Rings. Like, there's never been a show. Also, it's never been taken off the rails, off the books, you know? So that could be exactly what Lord of the Rings needs, because the world is still cool, but the stories, you can't keep telling those stories, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. We need new sides of it. That spoke to me of high quality.
Absolutely.
Or that they're going for that.
Right. I will say though, the best comment I saw about this one is, what is this Game of Thrones ripoff?
Yeah.
Oh, people suck. Anyways, still excited about the show. Looking forward to it. I wish there was an actual teaser. It says it's coming out September 2nd, 2022.
Oh, wow. So we'll get one this summer,
Yeah. So we should get a trailer soonish then. There is like a map and everything of like where it's going to be. So if you want to look that up.
Isn't it the most expensive show ever
produced?
It's
the most expensive show ever made. Yeah. So.
Wow. So it will be interesting to see someone, because I would assume that title would have been held by a bunch of Disney shows prior to this, right?
Yeah, probably. I would guess.
I would
assume. Game of Thrones, probably.
Yeah, it'd be Game of Thrones or those Disney's. Like, what else could?
It's got to be Game of Thrones. Was on for five seasons. I would think Game of Thrones is more expensive than those because they've only been on for a couple, you know, one or two seasons, you know.
Yeah, and they haven't yet done the Avengers of Marvel TV.
Right.
They've all been more contained.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm sure like the Mandalorian's really expensive too, but not, it can't be anywhere near Game of Thrones.
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, I want to see, who doesn't want to go back to that world and see that stuff. And I just want it to be fresh. I just want new things. Like,
yeah,
that's kind of what I want with all these properties. And what I'm finding is the most attractive. It's not like, don't give me the old thing. I don't want Star Wars what it was. That's gone. That's over. Like, mm-hmm. Do new Star Wars.
Yeah. Speaking of Star Wars, I don't think we've talked about Boba Fett. So let's just wrap it up real quick with a Boba Fett quick review. What is your review and have you watched it? Or have you even watched it yet?
I've watched 3 episodes. Is there 4 out now?
Yeah, I think the 4th one just dropped, which I watched. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Really, I mean, I like the show. It's great. We talked about it a little bit. I don't know if I want to like spoil stuff.
Yeah, we don't have to spoil it.
The sand people stuff. We talked about that a little bit. It's awesome. I don't know. I like seeing Boba Fett and it's not like how he was, you know what I mean? Like right. It's a new thing and that's why it works for me, I think.
Well, I think a lot of people have been saying, so they're just focusing too much on his past. And not enough on what's actually happening like now, you know what I mean? And like, I kind of understand that, but at the same time, I think they're doing a good job of showing you why he's not doing the things that he's doing, which people are getting mad about. Like, oh, he's not being like a scary crime boss. And it's like, yeah, they're showing you why he's not acting like that now. Like,
it's called the book. It's called the book of Boba Fett. And those people that are mad don't read books.
Exactly.
Books are out of sequence. I mean, personally, I would have watched 8 episodes of him living with sand people. Like,
yeah, that was great. I loved that.
So great. I want more of that, you know?
Yeah. more about the Tusken Raiders. I love seeing like more about the cultures and stuff of different Star Wars tribes and aliens that I've never seen, you know, explored before. I think that's awesome. So yeah, I'd love to see more of that. And Kersantan, like, he's great. It's so awesome that he's on a show.
Yeah, I actually, I rewatched episode 1 and episode 2.
Going
through the whole thing. Ugh. So 1, it's like what I remembered. It's like Jar Jar is excruciating.
Uh-huh.
Like it's flabbergasting. You know, it's like nothing's changed since 1999.
You're like, how did this happen?
Yeah, it's quite interesting as like it might be the most expensive single vision film ever made, you know, because it's like no one said don't do that. Don't make all the aliens racial stereotypes.
Right.
Like it's like all of them. Yeah. Episode 2, way better than I remembered. Like silly but fun. Like I'm in, you know, like I'm watching and I'm like, this guy's a psycho. How does Padme not see this? Like, what is that about?
Because he made her play so dumb.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, there's flaws there, right? But but it's enjoyable as an experience because I'm not expecting The Godfather. I'm expecting fun,
right,
silliness, you know? Oh. And I think I took it too seriously in the past. So episode two, rewatch that stuff, people. I recommend. Episode one, no.
Really? The opposite. I would think the other way around.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
But I've also been watching the Phantom Edit is the way to watch the first one.
Okay.
Find that online, people. This guy who is a professional editor re-edited the movie. It's better.
Did he take Jar Jar out?
As much as possible without destroying the plot. And he actually fixes a lot of the plot stuff. I hadn't watched the original since like 2000. I'd been watching the
Phantom Edit.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, like this. Because that's why I thought the movie was better.
Any recommendations for the week before we head out?
Beyond Star Wars Episode 2? No, I think I'm going to go with just that.
Just go with that?
Yeah.
Cool. I don't think I have anything either. I watched West Side Story. It was fine. I don't know. It didn't blow me away or anything. Also, I found out that Ansel Elgort allegedly might be a predator, so that kind of threw that. And I was like, great.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. So, and yeah, the lead actress in the movie is only 17 years old when they were shooting it, so even worse.
Well, that he isn't also that age. There you go.
Yeah,
that would have been fine.
26.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that sucked. I finished Yellow Jackets. It's great. Everyone should watch it. Fantastic show. Probably one of the best shows this year, I think, for sure.
Yeah, I'll be watching it. Now that it's all done and stuff, I'm going to get into it.
Yeah, it's crazy. When we first got that recommendation to watch it, like no one was talking about it. Like I didn't know anything about it. No one was even mentioning it. Now it's like on every single news site. Like every time I open a screen, it's like Yellow Jackets. What happened in the last episode? So I'm glad I got caught on. I feel like it was mostly us that made that happen, so
yeah, probably. Definitely
all the chatter.
Absolutely, we brought it there. Checks in the mail, I hope.
Hopefully, yeah. All right, well, I think that was a good episode.
Comics.
You can find us at Escapist Comics always on Instagram and Facebook. Please like us all of those places. You can also find me at Jessa Balboni, JessaBalboni. What about you, Robert?
You can find me on Instagram, Robert, or at Robert_NEGOESCO, at Robert Negoesco. And that's it for now, basically. I'm going to be starting I think it's too soon to announce some of that stuff. But follow me there to stay up to date. Keep listening to the show that you are listening to right now for more news on that front.
We'll have more announcements. They'll be soon.
Yeah, I got irons in the fire is what I'm saying.
Yep. All right. Until next time.
Escape into comics.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.